it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. I'll tell you what, Sean. Sometimes the best way to feel better about yourself and your own circumstances is to insult others and put others down. Time-tested.
Doing it for years.
Psychologists recommend it highly. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time doing it, honestly. When I look at the Bears, I'm going to watch that game last night, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, here come two teams, the Vikings and the Bears, that really spent heavily in the offseason to bolster their offensive line, way more aggressive than the Texans were. If they just start marching down the fields, if both of these offensive lines look incredible, I'm gonna be miserable. For the Bears, it might have looked like that for a while, but everything kind of fell apart at the end of the game. But then I'm looking at the Bears' record, and I didn't realize they've only had one winning season since 2012.
Yeah,
That's the year they went to the playoffs.
Yep,
it just unbelievable. They've turned into I guess and yes, you know the Bears are bad, but it's just I feel bad for the people of Chicago.
Way more bad.
I feel better about the people of Houston.
Yeah, they way more bad than good in their history, no doubt. Look. The Bears are at the top of the teams that I root against in the NFL, and I root against a lot of teams. It's really hard for me. Some of these games on Sundays, man, when I got two teams that I don't like or root against going against each other, it's like, ugh. Like the Dolphins and the Colts playing each other this weekend. Like I think Mike McDaniel is just a little skate rat stoner, and so does Rex Ryan. We'll get to that later in the show. And meanwhile, they play the Colts, who inherently I root against the Colts because they're in the Texans division and a variety of other reasons. Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, is very, very high up the list of people I root against, you know, because I think he's a pub hound. I think he's more about Ryan Poles than he is his own football team, which is why I really enjoyed staying up last night to watch this Bears offensive line, which everybody was saying it's now a top five offensive line because they spent a bunch of money on it and they got Ben Johnson to direct this whole thing as the new head coach. If you only watch the first quarter of the game, you're like, well, this is clicking. This is good. Caleb Williams, 10 for his first 10. It was working, man. And if you stayed up, you would know that it did not work in the end. They were up 17-6. They got a pick six in the third quarter of that game. The Bears did to go up 17-6. And J.J. McCarthy was a mess in this game. He obviously threw the pick six, but even before that, he was not good. Like through the first quarter, he was like 1 for 2 for 5 yards. It was bad. He looked like a guy making his first start. And then in the fourth quarter, he was excellent. He scrambled for a touchdown to put him up 27-17, like a 20-yard scramble. You go, all right, all the stuff. I get skeptical sometimes when guys get drafted because they are, quote, a winner. Guy's a winner, man. Yeah. He's just with the 11th pick. Guy's just a winner. And last night, look, it's one game in, but last night, all those things came true. And I would say the two teams that spent heavily on the offensive line, the Bears, it looked good early. It did not look good at all late. The Vikings did not look good early, and it looked really good late. I don't know what that says about either coach. You got two of the better offensive minds in football in Ben Johnson and Kevin O'Connell, you know, orchestrating that whole thing. I will say this, compared to the Texans, that I would say the Texans had almost no moments with their offensive line. I mean, they didn't score any touchdowns. So they got one trip into the red zone. So I would say compared to those two teams, they had no moments. I would say with the Bears and the Vikings, two teams that spent a ton of money on the offensive line, you can at least see some. They have evidence at least that it could work for them.
You can see, you try to look and see exactly how it might play out, where the spots of football are. And there are, and this is how it always works out. It's never as bad as you thought, it's never as good as you thought. With the Texans, there's some things they can build on. and with the offensive line and some positive things they did, it's just they certainly aren't like, oh, wow, this is going to be one of the best offensive lines in the league. It's certainly not like that. No. But I'm also trying to remember that, man, though, that Rams defensive front, it's just chock full of demons, man.
Yeah. Like,
that was a big test for those guys in their first day in a scheme. I'm not making excuses or anything. I'm just saying I you got to let it play out a few games to see exactly where they are.
It on the broadcast last night in the second half when the Vikings started moving the football, they brought this. This made me feel better about the Texans after week one, was the big impetus for the Vikings to go spend money on Ryan Kelly and Will Fries and revamp that offensive line was the playoff loss to the Rams where Sam Darnold got sacked 9 times. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was the team the Texans played on Sunday. So that team basically forced a 14-win team from last year to say, hey, man, we need to go do some things. I'm like, all right, so that was a really good front that they – okay, Sean, you feel a little bit better. That was a really good front that they played on Sunday.
It was a really good front. It's not an excuse for not scoring a single touchdown
in
the game.
It's not.
And I can't I can't sit here and act like, oh, wow, well, they didn't have Christian Kirk. Once Christian Kirk comes back, it's gonna be different. There's a Christian Kirk single-handedly takes you from a 3 field goal team to a 7 touchdown team.
Totally,
yeah, let's be honest here.
But this not good news yesterday. Cade Stover, broken foot, out indefinitely, according to the reports out there.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about Cade Stover out indefinitely with a broken foot?
I don't feel good at all, especially since he played the entire game, and you wonder, or at least it looked like.
He came out. I was watching this in my rewatch. Yeah. I'm going, okay, when? Because I had heard the news of that while I was doing my rewatch. He was in until there were 2.5 minutes left in the game. He himself got an illegal shift penalty. And that was the last play that he played in the game. You would have thought that he got benched for it or something, because they went 4 wide the rest of the game almost.
Yeah, and that's where and they started to move the ball too. That's another discussion. But the can we blame the illegal shift on him playing through a broken foot? I don't know. I guess the fact that he came out on that play.
Yeah.
Where he probably didn't get injured on that play, it makes me feel, with zero medical background or justification for this whatsoever, that maybe it's not that big a deal, and that he had been playing on it, and it's one of these small fractures that they just got to let heal up.
Yeah, no point
but
did he
we
get
know
with, no
we,
point
we know with
did he get helped yeah. off the no point did he get helped off the field? I think
right.
is what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, a Liz Frank or something seemed to be kind of like that, and that we also know that foot injuries or foot fractures can be finicky. It seems like it's never as simple as it should. Whenever you hear about, oh, it's just a small stress fracture or something, it seems like it takes forever and ever. Going back to the Kevin Johnson days. Remember Kevin Johnson? It seems like he had a foot injury that popped up once about every 6 weeks.
Totally. Totally.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The thing for me, like, okay, this is one of the positions where they chose to go very light on the 53-man roster. Like, okay, you got 2 tight ends. You can piece the rest of the tight end to get stuff together with bringing Harrison Bryan up off the practice squad, or Jakob Johnson can play a little hybrid tight end for you or whatever. You've got one true tight end as of today, and we'll see what they do. They've not put Cade Stover, nor have they put Jake Andrews, who, according to Aaron Wilson, is going to be out for a while with a high ankle sprain. Neither of them have been put on IR, but it's only Tuesday on a week where they don't start practicing until Thursday. So they've got, you know, they everything's pushed back a day this week for the Texans. So maybe they end up doing it tomorrow or Thursday. But week one was costly to them, man. They lost their starting center. And I would submit they lost the better of the two tight ends. Cade Stover was a more useful player coming out of training camp than Dalton Schultz, because Cade Stover was a monster run blocking in the preseason. And in that game, he was pretty good blocking in that game on Sunday, too.
I mean, they both got used up at times by some of those really good defensive ends. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, there's times as a tight end, as George Kittle calls it, it's the art of getting your butt kicked slowly. Like, you just sometimes have to be a it's like a martial art where you're like, I think Aikido is like this. I'm not sure. Correct me, texters. But where you're just trying to use the other guy's aggression against you and slowly kind of just take away some of the oomph. So you're not going to win every battle or be dominating unless you're Gronk or something. With the offensive line, you can even look at last night and say, okay, well, the Bears' offensive line fell apart in the fourth quarter. It wasn't worth spending all that money. The biggest problem with the Texans' offensive line right now is because you didn't really bolster it with about a lot of people that have a proven track record, the depth. It's the depth. And the reason when people are asking, why didn't they put your Scruggs in? I don't get mad at them shuffling the lineup. I get mad at the fact that they have a backup interior offensive lineman that they don't feel good about putting on the field when the starting guard gets injured. It's that, yeah, you don't, if you're not going to have a bunch of marauders up front, you got to at least have some depth behind them. And the depth is really, really shaky right now. And that's, guess what? There's going to be more injuries along the offensive line at some point this season.
Yeah.
You can say that about any position group. So the depth is very, very, very shaky right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, at least, the one saving grace with his Jake Andrews injury, it's one of the few places on the offensive line they're just going to plug in the backup. You know, they're just going to, as opposed to moving three guys around to accommodate the fact that you don't have good players on your bench. Jake Andrews is out, they'll just throw Jared Patterson in there. And that's fine. He started a bunch. He started way more games than Jake Andrews has in the NFL. So it looks like Jared Patterson is going to be your center for a little while.
We don't really know. We've never gotten like an update on Irv Smith and when he might be completely healthy, have we?
I think they didn't put him on the IR designated to return. Yeah. He's on the regular IR, which I think means he's done for the year.
He's done for the year completely.
I think so,
The initial report was that it might be designated to return. Okay.
From what I remember, I'll look it up during the break. This is important now because Kate Stover's out. I remember Jalen Reed having the designation to return, and I remember Irv Smith, and there was one other they put on IR, the other IR. So
it was that confusing report because remember Aaron Wilson had said that they were going to release him, but that might be on IR. And it's, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's on IR. He's a Texan still. He's still an employee of the Houston Texans, but I'll check. I'll check that during the break. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're off and running on a Tuesday. We got Ross Tucker joining us at 7 o'clock today, so that'll be fun. We'll get up to speed with Ross, and we got a petty cast at 8 o'clock that is going to be one of the greatest petty casts of all time. There was so much petty floating around the world of sports over the last couple of days that we'll get to. Did my rewatch yesterday. We've just got some leftovers, and then we'll flush this Rams game. But I've got some observations from my rewatch, including just some incredible versatility in one area for the Houston Texans that I think they want to get rid of this versatility. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.